This program is brought to you by MyTech1 and by Entelix.
The content, information, and opinions expressed during the related show are those of the show personalities and guest alone, and not those of Vic Kanellis Media Group, its parent, affiliates, or stations. VCMG Live is not responsible for any content, information, or opinions expressed. User bears full responsibility for their reliance on such content, information, or opinions.
Good day and welcome to the South Florida Community Roundup. And the goal of our program is to provide community leaders here in South Florida a voice on how they are helping the community in a digital, hybrid, in-person world. We also want to educate the local community on how these community leaders and associated organizations are working with people in our area. We want to be the connective tissue with the South Florida industry to encourage collaboration, foster relationships, and improve fundraising and grant opportunities. We hope to create a more vibrant community so all businesses in South Florida can thrive. Thank you for joining us.
In today's digital world, security is everything. But who's protecting your business from cyber threats? At MyTech1, we specialize in cutting-edge cybersecurity and managed services that keep you safe, secure, and operational 24/7. Visit MyTech1, MyTechOne.com or call 1-844-MyTech1. That's 844-648-3241. Your trusted partner in cybersecurity.
Need reliable office solutions? DEX Imaging provides top-notch printers, copiers, and document management systems, along with cutting-edge software solutions to streamline your business workflows. Trust DEX Imaging for innovative technology and exceptional service. DEX Imaging, your partner in office productivity and your organization's profitability. For more information, call Tiffany Salas with DEX Imaging at 561-948-6363, extension 1339, or 954-643-0906.
Workplace violence is on the rise, and no industry is immune from it. Survival Response helps organizations prevent and prepare for unthinkable situations. Our program focuses on prevention as well as response, and we provide customized programs based on your unique situation. Visit us at www.survivalresponsellc.com for more information and to schedule a free consultation.
Do you have an aging parent who needs a helping hand? Look no further. Wisdom Senior Care is here to make life easier. From shopping trips to personal care, we got you covered. Whether it's companionship, Alzheimer's and dementia care, or just a little extra help, we're your trusted partner. At Wisdom Senior Care, we bring the joy back to daily life. Call us today at 954-779-5989 and let us take care of you and your loved ones. Because with us, you're family.
Good day and welcome to the South Florida Community Roundup. I'm your host, David N. Reese. And I'd like to thank you for giving time out of your busy schedule to listen to some of the top leaders right here in the South Florida community. Well, guests, as you know, this is the second week of the month, and that's the time I feature Andre Williams and Laura Klein, who are part of the Big Picture. So listen keenly as they take over for this particular program.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our podcast, Big Picture with Andre and Lauren. Every second Saturday at 7 a.m. Thanks for joining us. We have a great guest today. Lauren will introduce him, but let me just tell you a little bit about our podcast. We interview and have conversations with business people, people in the public and private sector, in the government sector, talk to them about their journeys to success and their career paths. We want to share with you tools for being successful and achieving your purpose. This is sponsored by the Miami Gardens Chamber of Commerce, where I serve as president. The Miami Gardens Chamber of Commerce is different from most chambers. We have a very business to consumer focused approach. When you join this chamber, we help you grow your business. We have various platforms to market your business, like this podcast and a newsletter. We have a digital marketing platform. We can help you build your business through social media and other marketing tools. We have an IT toolkit that you can also participate in. And we have business coaches and management consultants who can help you grow your business. We have ongoing relationships with the Small Business Administration and other chambers of commerce as well in our local community. Now, let me introduce my co-host, who is an absolute rock star, Lauren Klein, who is an estate planning attorney with her own law firm. She has big law experience, but most notably, she is an adjunct professor at St. Thomas University School of Law, where she graduated, and she is empowering young people who want to be attorneys and doing a great job of that. But I'm going to turn the program over to Lauren, who's going to introduce our guest. Lauren, it's good to see you.
Oh, thank you, Andre. So good to see you and so excited for our guest today. So I'm going to dive in, introduce Jeremy, and then we're going to kick it off because I know so many listeners are business owners here in South Florida, and they're going to want to hear from Jeremy. They're going to want to know about his vast expertise, things that they can consider, because I know, in my space, and Jeremy and I have talked about this, the things that we see with clients, you know, with family-owned businesses, transferring between generations, maybe trying to sell one day. So I'm also very, very excited for this conversation. So just a brief introduction for Jeremy Stevenson. He is the founder of iBridge Global Partners. For over two decades, Jeremy has dedicated himself to strengthening family enterprises and building companies. As the co-founder of a $1 billion with a B plus company, former CEO of two family businesses, and a trusted advisor to over 100 family-owned companies, Jeremy has driven more than $5 billion in increased profits and value. So we are sitting here with someone today that has a wealth of experience and knowledge, and he truly understands the joys and challenges and the importance of preserving family legacies. So Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Lauren and Andre. I appreciate it. Thanks for being. I'm happy to be here.
Very, very excited. So tell us about your background, who you are, and who you help.
You know, it's funny. I get that question a lot in terms of how did you learn how to do all that? And basically, it's a jungle gym of experiences. So the succinct story of that is first job was in a family business, a dysfunctional family business at that, and then got further in early college, ran two family businesses that my parents owned. Basically, one of them spun up and I sold it. The other one we still own as a passive asset, and then got into corporate world further into college, did finance, got out of that and did business taxes. And then I got into big firm consulting. So Texas to New York, split the country in half, the eastern half. Basically, I ran teams to do bankruptcy prep, turnaround prep, and then tune-up prep is probably a better way to say that succinctly in terms of businesses that were in good positions but wanted to emerge from the downturn essentially and thrive and clarify their path forward. So what I do now is a very expanded version of that. But, got out of there, got into family office. So I was handing checks to family business owners or family enterprise owners essentially saying we're going to spend this money and help you achieve those goals. And the other side of it is then I got involved in a little startup, actually an idea at that point, but there were seven other people. We, you know, created a pitch deck, raised a whole lot of money. It always sounds more elaborate or illustrious when you say it essentially. But yeah, you know, we built a company, an office in New York, had an office here, had 172 employees, scaled it to a pretty good numbers and sold it to Nationwide in 2017. So yeah. And then I was doing some post-acquisition integration stuff, building out the retail financial services platform. And then from there, I had some friends from the old consulting days that had moved into family enterprise that said, hey, can you help us with some family dynamic scenarios, governance, both on the family and business side, or how to tune up a business? And, I guess you could say tune it up for a transition. And I said, sure. So that was kind of the birth of iBridge in 2019. And so, yeah, and the rest is history. You know, you're always continuing to build and mature and evolve.
Amazing. Amazing. And I was so happy, you know, when we were connected, because so many of our clients have family owned businesses and we see the issues, you know, that can arise between the transition between generations. I was reading something the other day and let me know if this is kind of what you see in your experience, that about 70% of family owned businesses either fail or maybe are sold prior to the next generation taking over. That seems high.
It depends on what generation. So from first to fourth generation, 90% fail. Wow. Actually, 87%, wow. But I round off just because it's easier. But yeah, I mean, the success rate from first to second is 27%, 13% from there, 3% from third to fourth. So if you average all those out, it comes out to be 87%. But yeah, and then if you get to the sale market, whether it's intentional or unintentional, how they get there, 80% of businesses don't sell. They're not real good assets. Basically, they may be good operating companies that spit off money, but they're not actual attractive assets that can be sold for a variety of different reasons. And then 10% actually sell for about half of what they could sell for. So there's only about 10% of businesses on the market at any given time that actually sell for maximum value.
Wow. I mean, those numbers are astonishing.
Yeah, I mean, it's all shapes and sizes and revenue ranges. It's not isolated to, you know, minuscule businesses that are only doing, you know, a couple hundred grand or whatever. Or if you're talking about big billion-dollar firms, it's just across the board, basically. And, you know, I mean, look, the major challenges basically is, well, there's a lot of them and we can dig deeper into that. But yeah, it's family dynamics that destroy some of these businesses because people start doing some infighting and that infiltrates or it seeps into the business. And the other side is lack of transition or poor transition planning.
Sure, sure. And we see that all the time, you know, in situations where clients pass away or people come to us, you know, mom, dad, uncle has passed, and it can be such a mess, you know, whether there was planning in place or just the right questions weren't asked. So that's why I was so happy to be introduced. And I know the millions of people who listen to the show will be really, really happy to hear about what they can do, you know, if they have a family-owned business, depending on which level, generational level it's at. So what is the number one mistake that you see owners making when they're preparing or planning for a transition?
Not starting. Mm. Not allowing and not understanding the breadth and time that it takes. And you and I have talked about this a little bit, and certainly everything about my marketing always says team sport. And that's the way that it is, because that's the way my process is designed. It is. I mean, tax, legal, bankers, financial advisory, they all plug into these engagements. Most owners have them. But this is a very collaborative experience, essentially, because it does take time to do this stuff. I mean, you know, from I have a company and I want to set it up for success, whether passing it down or not, essentially. So what does that need to look like? I want to position it for that so I do it right, or I want to position it for a sale or whatever. Yeah, I mean, how do you get everybody engaged? How do you clarify and figure out what the options are and clarify the future, essentially, unify the family around that, the ownership structure, essentially, and then basically start tuning up the asset? Because, you know, regardless of what most owners think, essentially, and I salute every one of them, absolutely. I mean, I've built companies and, you know, it's a challenge. It certainly is. But because of the time it takes, essentially, to build companies and the unbiased viewpoint that it takes to be able to look at something and say, there's different ways to position this business to basically exploit and untap the potential, but also create a better foundation. So you have a better, I guess you could say, springboard to do that. Hence the family business journey that I talk about a lot, too, because every family enterprise is on the same journey. I mean, father time is undefeated. So all of us are marching to a passing a baton in some shape, form, or fashion. Whether you're going to hand it down or you're going to transition it, I mean, really, you have three options when it comes to this. You're going to create a sellable asset. You're going to create something you're going to pass down, whether it's to family or non-family, or you're going to scale it into a family enterprise. And that helps. If the next generations don't want it, essentially, or they're not the right person to take over, basically, if it's in the right scenarios, it can be a very, very good tool, basically. And what I mean by that is moving family from operating family to governance family. They can create a family office if they want. If they have enough wealth and aspirations, they can start investing in other operating companies. You can go in and tune those up, basically. And then you get into family talent pipeline, family shared assets, family philanthropic activities, family unity. And that's a different discussion. But yeah, the biggest challenge is owners not understanding it. I mean, I had that conversation with an owner not too long ago. And, you know, they've been running the company for almost 50 years and there's multiple owners, essentially. And they're like, this happened. We want to position it. Can't totally say we're going to sell, even though that's kind of the writing on the wall in this scenario. We also want to exponentially increase our profitability. And how long is this going to take? And I'm like, well, probably 5 years, basically. But, you know, the thing is that gets surprising is, even if you're talking about a sale or you're talking about a generational transition, I mean, how long does it take to school up whoever's going to take over the business? Or, I mean, this is just one aspect of it. Or the next side of it is, and I had this discussion not too long ago, if I was sitting across from you and you were a buyer for my company and I was ready to sell, that check's not going to move across that table in the best of circumstances for probably 8 months. And that's, I mean, you know, and that's after due diligence. And if you're going to do, if you're looking to sell, then, I mean, you know, a normal due diligence period is going to go back 3 to 5 years. If they're good, they're going to go back 5 years. Normalizing finances, looking at linear growth curves, looking at the structure of the business. That's why you have to tear these. I shouldn't say tear, but you definitely have to restructure or look at the bottom. Examine the businesses from top to bottom, both on the family side from a family governance perspective. And then what's the business governance look like? Do you have the talent and the leadership team that needs to be there? Who's going to take over after XYZ owner starts to step away? And then from a structural standpoint, how is it structured? Who can make decisions within the organization? Then you get into processes. How do you actually systematize things to reduce risk, reduce sole dependency, streamline things? This is reducing. You're also trying to reduce the cost reduce the cost on the bottom of the P&L. And that gives you, once you create a strong foundation, then you can start to figure out how to untap potential in the business and create a more, I guess you get a more profitable, more growth oriented business, new products, new pricing, new distribution channels, new partnerships.
Yeah. Wow. You know, you mentioned something in that wealth of knowledge about, you know, having conflict in the family. And what in your experience, how can you unify a family when maybe you have, you know, different sides or even siblings who they just can't seem to get it together? What do you do in that process?
Discussion and negotiation and a structured approach, basically. I mean, it really, I know you and I had talked about the, you know, it's the system, basically the systematized, because every family enterprise has to hit certain pillars. And I guess to say this first, and then we can answer your question. Every enterprise needs a life, business, and wealth strategy. And wealth with subtext under that saying legal, tax, and banking, basically, in terms of that. That's what the journey looks like in terms of life, meaning what's next? What's the owner going to do? What's that going to look like? It's, you know, there's got to be, it's going to be a multi-pronged approach. Business-wise, what are we going to build it into? Sellable asset, succession, or family asset. What's the team look like? Tax, legal, wealth. And then how do you, you know, family governance, business stuff, school up next generation or next leadership team. But to your point, every family enterprise has one of three problems, if not all of them. And it's family problems, financial problems, or transition challenges. I don't care what they sell, what they do, how big they are, how small they are. If they have challenges, which I'm sure they probably do, then it falls into one, two, or all those buckets. And there's no point in touching the asset unless everybody's on the same page. And that, you know, democracy is nasty if there's multiple owners. I mean, unfortunately, there is negotiation involved. But first, you have to basically try to get to the crux of the issues, hear whatever people are saying. And it's usually not, you know, it's, I've had brothers that fired sisters and, you know, people that nieces that sued uncles that were supposed to take over and all this good stuff. So, I mean, there's all kinds of family nastiness that goes on. But, you know, okay, you listen to the scenario and there's always two sides or three sides to the story. And then you start trying to basically structure the approach in terms of safe space so people can actually start to calm down and discuss this. But also tying that back to there's an economic entity that employs X amount of employees and obviously funds a lifestyle and a family legacy. So everybody's not going to get everything they want. But how do we actually come to terms basically and with a go forward plan and break it down in a way that we're getting to the fix of the or getting to the crux of the issue? And this is going to be what it's going to look like going forward. So again, it's a negotiation. You create a safe space. It's a structured approach, basically. And honestly, I usually just use a 4-step process. And that means listening to all the griping, basically consuming that, figuring out what the commonalities are and trying to dig down. Because trust me, generally symptoms are what you're usually generally told. And then you can start to drill down into what the actual issues are. And then start to, it can take months. It can take a long time, basically, but you have to get people in the same room essentially to start discussing this in a calm fashion, basically. With the subtext under that of actually discussing the major issues, not just the symptomatic issues that go on and start to flare up a passion.
Sure, sure. That makes sense. And, you know, we see this all the time. So again, I'm so happy to have you, you know, now in our circle so we can bring you in, because we are not experts in this area. We are experts at putting together the legal documents, walking through, you know, all of that portion of the structure, but that is just but one piece of the puzzle. So this is, I'm hanging on your every word, you know, because it's interesting and it's also very, very helpful. So I'm sure it's providing a ton of value, you know, to our listeners as well. We have in South Florida so many family businesses, a lot of wealth, you know, and that's just continuing to grow. So many people moving down here from the Northeast and all over the country. So for those who are listening and they're thinking, wow, okay, you know, I'm first gen or I'm second gen, and I want to try to avoid these issues, and I want to try to make sure that, you know, if we do sell or we scale or whatever it might be, that I have a plan in place. Well, I guess my first question is there a certain type of business that this type of thinking and structuring will work best for? Is it, you know, obviously a certain, I would imagine certain income level or value, but what types of businesses should really be thinking about this?
Honestly, just about every family enterprise, because on the journey is the journey. I mean, I just call it the family business journey, basically. I mean, family office kind of starts there. The later stages of a family business, basically, if you make enough money in some shape, form, or fashion, you can do that and start doing other things. And those are obviously the two focuses that I have. But no, I mean, I have, you always have, you know, parameters around what you look at from a business perspective if you have a business. So, I mean, I started $10 million in revenue and go anywhere north of that. But there's 112,000 family businesses in the United States that do better than $10 million in revenue. That's out of the 25 to 28 million that exist. So most of the family enterprises are from 0 to 1 million or 0 to 500,000 or, you know, up to 5 million, whatever. But the journey is still, you know, there's a baton passing that's coming, basically, whether it's a lifestyle business. So, I mean, yeah, if it is a lifestyle business, then, you know, there's not much to do. But if there's an operating company of sorts, then no. I mean, if you want to create an asset that you're going to sell, or you want to create an asset that you're going to pass down, the journey is consistent across all spectrums.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that makes sense. Please go ahead.
No, I mean, it's just, yeah, it doesn't really matter what they do. I mean, I've worked with cannabis distribution companies, professional services company, manufacturing companies that made all different stuff for big auto industries and whatever else. Yeah, if there's an asset essentially that they're trying to do one of two things with, then the journey is the same, meaning what are you going to do next in life and start figuring that out? Because that's really, like, I've seen two suicides, a lot of divorce, and a heck of a lot of depression, basically. I mean, owners, it helps from a business value perspective. It helps from a transition perspective. It helps from a mental perspective. And it helps also pave the way for owners to start stepping away, because this becomes our identity. I mean, our jobs do, unfortunately, certainly in the United States. You know, I mean, it's part of our being, essentially. And it's even worse when you've created a company, if you're the founder, or if it's just been the business, the family business forever. You know, you got a lot of responsibility. And so how do you pass that off to somebody else, whether it's in the family or you're going to sign the check or receive the check and, you know, give it to somebody else? You got to create an asset to give to somebody else. I mean, it's just like, I guess, compare it to real estate. Do you want to create a turnkey property, basically, so when you put it on the market, the kitchen and bathrooms have been remodeled, you know, and so you can decide when to put a for sale sign in the front yard, and then you're going to get multiple offers. And you already know what that journey is going to look like. And by the time you've done that, you're already into the next chapter. Somebody else is running your company and it's tuned up and ready, essentially, and dialed in. And this has all been planned out and choreographed. Unfortunately, that's generally not the way things play out. And so, yeah, the journey, regardless if it's a business that's making $200,000 in revenue or it's a business that's making $200 million or $2 billion in revenue, they still have to do the same thing of what's next in life. What are we going to do with this company? What's our team look like, essentially? How do we get everything dialed in? And then from a, how do we tune the business up? Because there's always opportunity in the business, basically, I should say 99% of the time, basically, to structure it better, refine the internal processes, create better governance on both the family and business side, continuing to evolve that as the company grows. And then from a structural perspective, how do you continue to refine it from an operating company perspective to create a better foundation and keep that foundation intact? And then obviously everybody likes to grow, and that's fine. But there's usually probably 30 to 50% growth left in most of these companies that, wow. It's just really hard to see, basically. I mean, in terms of that, I mean, sometimes it's really big numbers. It's not, but it's just, there's various opportunities that can be exploited once you create that stronger foundation, because it gives you a strong springboard to start looking out there, basically. And the other side of it is, like anything else, everybody thinks their baby is the most beautiful thing in the world. And you need the unbiased viewpoint to say, you're going to trade this car in, but it's got a couple of nicks on it, basically, in terms of that. So no, it's not in that pristine condition when you went through, you know, KBB, Kelley Blue Book, and said, nope, it's excellent, perfect condition. So, you know.
Oh, this is so interesting. I have a million questions, but I want to turn it over to Andre to see if he has any questions to ask while we're sitting here with you.
Oh, thank you so much, Lauren. And Jeremy, incredible wealth of information. Thanks again for joining us. And so, I didn't introduce myself at the very beginning, but I'm a real estate attorney. So I have a full service real estate law practice. A lot of my clients own real estate, but it's oftentimes connected to a family business. So I've represented families in some of these transactions. And I can tell you, I've seen a great deal of conflict, especially when it comes to real estate, when, you know, there, you know, different factions or parties involved in real estate, a real estate transaction. I just can't even imagine on a larger level with a family enterprise. Give us some examples of the turmoil or conflict that you may have encountered in a family enterprise with respect to, you know, running of the business or transition to new leadership.
Yeah, I mean, if you can think it, I've probably seen it when it comes to that. I mean, honestly, you know, the way to say that, I guess, in a very polite way is you put family, business and money and I guess you could say power into a cup and just throw a match at it and stand back, because, I mean, things can happen pretty quickly. I've seen generational brothers and sisters, you know, majority shareholders, minority shareholders that pregnant, you know, all this good stuff, fire one another, essentially, and all this good stuff. Mom and dad, I unfortunately saw a dad that almost passed away from blood pressure problems. Because, you know, he did everything right. The generational, it's a third to fourth generation transfer. And he thought he did everything right to hand the business off. And unfortunately, you know, things happen in business. And, you know, when your kids are screaming and yelling at you and each other, then that becomes a lot of turmoil, essentially. So, I mean, it can, as I said earlier, you know, that's a huge problem. And you're not always going to have the perfect scenario. And that goes back to how do you structure the business? And this is a way that a phrase that I generally say all the time. And it really does explain, you know, what we're trying to transform these companies into. And it's basically turning them into a mini Fortune 50 without the red tape that runs on systems and processes and data-driven decisions with a decentralized leadership team. And, you know, you're not losing the ethos of the business, but no, you're just basically structuring it better. So it's in a more efficient operating company that's better structured with a pipeline of talent. Everybody knows their role. They know who's going to be able to step up next, essentially. And they're being, I guess you could say, educated and bred for that role if that's the role that they want. Otherwise, there's other options because it's not assumed, because unfortunately, assumptions, of course, we're going to pass it down to Johnny or Jane or both, essentially. And you know, that conversation is a lot deeper than that, as Lori could definitely attest to, you know, and that's, do they want it? You know, are they the right people for it? Does only one of them want it? And that means somebody else isn't in the company. So how does that work from an income and dividends and financial perspective is probably a broader way to say that. Yeah, I mean, I've seen brothers and sisters fire each other. I've seen a niece who was tuned up and ready to take over a company. But the, I guess you could say the patriarch that was, her uncle, obviously, in front of her, decided, and this is honestly because he didn't have anything else to go to. This was his life's work. And he, you know, decided in the 19th hour that, nope, that's not going to happen. So there was a lawsuit that ensued. You know, and I mean, it always starts with a family challenge, a financial challenge, or a transition challenge. And look, I mean, some of those fester bigger than others, but you don't want to wait till they fester, because proactiveness, the journey is going to be the same. You're heading to the same destination. And honestly, if you start, just like the book says, build with the end in mind. But I get it. It's very difficult to do that because most businesses are created with an idea. Somebody figures out how to monetize it, and then they figure out how to make some money and grow off of it. And hopefully, you know, 10, 20, 30 years from down, maybe they're making 10 million or 20 million or whatever it is, 300 million. But they probably could have a $500 or $600 million business, basically, and obviously a much more efficient operation with both the family structured for generational success. Or, and even if you're going to sell the business, you still need to put those guardrails in place, because I had that discussion with an entrepreneur that I'm building out a roundtable with in Atlanta. Sold the company, but he said, you know, I've been building this company for the last 50 years. The last 10 years, I had to figure out how to build an asset that I could sell. Now we've got this pot of gold, essentially, and I've got to figure out how to design it family-wise so they can actually manage it, educate them, because you got to keep the next generations incentivized. You don't want to turn it into everybody's got money, so we're going to go buy Lamborghinis and yachts, basically. There has to be, okay, what's the family's purpose? You know, what's the family's focus? And how do you incentivize following generations? And how do you manage the wealth? From a family perspective. And also, you just don't want to turn it into looking like a lottery winning family in 5 years.
Oh, I know that too well. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much. This has been so incredible. Where can the listeners find out more about you and connect with you?
iBridgeGlobalPartners.com. And of course, I'm on LinkedIn. And my phone number is 502-741-7852. Email is jstevenson@iBridgeGlobalPartners.com. You know, I email me anytime, basically, because it's always there's plenty of opportunity out there. There's plenty of challenges, and I'm always happy to help, because I truly do this work because I love family businesses and what they do and what they represent to the country and the world. They are the bedrock of the world's economy, and they contribute most to the local ecosystems, the communities, their employees. I've seen it go south too many times, and there's usually always opportunity to really save them and tune them up and set them on a course for success.
Oh, thank you so much, Jeremy. And thank you for sitting down with Andre and I today with The Big Picture with Andre and Lauren. I enjoyed this so much. Thank you.
No, thanks for having me, both of you guys. I really appreciate Andre and Lauren.
Thanks, Jeremy.
This podcast was powered by Dex Imaging.
If you would like to sponsor the show or be a guest on the show, please contact me, David N. Reese. And the number is 954-658-2196. Once again, 954-658-2196. Or feel free to email me at David N. Reese, that's spelled DavidNReece, at email.com. See you next time. And I've been taking care of business
every day. Taking care of business everywhere.
The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.